Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Extraordinaire.
On the other side of the screen, I have the other two hosts. We got Kyle and we got Heaps. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on the show. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It has been. 3 weeks? 4 weeks? 3 weeks, right? No, it's been about four.
That was the week before season started. I mean, whatever. We get the gist.
But yeah.
We'll start off the top like we always do. So the Fab Bet results from last week. We were betting on who would be the highest scoring running back on the week. And Jonathan Taylor was the highest. So congrats to no one. You all get nothing. You two, for some reason, decided to abstain from voting. So you definitely weren't going to win it. And also on a side note, I almost feel like I should take away $5 from Lee, Ashley, and Poor for picking Derrick Henry. Because he scored 2.3. a massive, massive way to be wrong. Not even close.
He's washed.
Yeah, he's done. He finally hit that age. We're not worried about it for the last 3 years.
It's over.
Last week was the week.
He's a one-game wonder this year.
But yeah, I figure we'll start at the top. We haven't heard from you yet, this Jim. How are you feeling about your Lions? How are you feeling about the NFC North? How it's shaken up so far?
Yeah, so week one kind of sucked, obviously. That was somewhat unexpected, but a little bit expected. I figured the Lions are going to have a slow start this season, being that we did have two new guards and a center on the offensive line, new offensive coordinator, new defense coordinator. Kind of figured it's going to take them a couple weeks to get everything working. Against the Packers especially, the guard play was atrocious, and that was a big concern, but it seems like they corrected a lot of the mistakes that they made against the Packers, against the Bears. Is that talent different? I don't know. It was definitely more, seemed like mental errors in the first game. But yeah, it was definitely a lot better after week two. They looked a lot better against the Bears. The Lions offense right now is still looks like one of the best in the league after that. We'll probably know a lot more after we play the Ravens this week. I'm still pretty happy with everything. I think this might be the best roster they've had. Maybe last year the roster was better, but I think everyone of an extra year, what they did in the draft, I think this is actually the best we probably are going to be, at least in the next couple of years, maybe. So I'm excited. I think this is a Super Bowl run. But yeah, there's a lot of different teams coming up, like the Packers, that look pretty good too, and that's going to be a concern, but never going to have an easy season, so yeah, I'm still excited about it.
Yeah, I'll mention health too. I mean, yeah, your roster is very talented, but you also have a healthy defense this year. You did not at the end of last year. I don't know if you remember the number, if it was 6 or 7 starters. You were down by the end of the season.
We had 14 defenders on IR at one point. And that was, like, before the playoffs. So I'm sure that number increased. So, yeah, it was, like, 7 or 8 of their starting defense was out on IR last year. So, yeah, getting most of them back is a big deal. Main one is Aiden Hutchinson. We don't have a pass rush without him. So without Aiden Hutchinson, I don't know how good the defense can be. But with Aiden Hutchinson, I think they can be great. Secondary, pretty young but extremely talented. Kind of comes down to Terrion Arnold. If he can be kind of that lockdown corner, then their defense secondary is probably the best in the league, I would think. And we have pretty solid linebacker core, and our defensive line has some really good players, but it's lacking depth. But yeah, overall, I think they're going to be a great unit this year.
So what about the any thoughts on the Bears or the Vikings?
Bears or the Vikings? I think for the most part, people are just like totally writing off the Bears. Like, I don't think they're a playoff team, but I still think they have a lot of talent on that roster. I feel that even what happened, I felt that Williams played pretty well against the Lions. I think he's still showing a lot of potential. Before the season, I would have said he would probably be my number two option in the division just because of his upside. And I still see it. I think he still needs to play better in structure. But if he starts hitting it, getting it, I think he's going to be really good. So the Bears are going to go as far as he goes. I mean, he's kind of the linchpin of their whole entire team at this point. But I think if you give him another like six games of Ben Johnson, it's going to start looking a lot better. So I'd like them in that sense, like long term, but I don't know about this season. The Vikings, you know, I always kind of talk about how much I like Kevin O'Connell. I think he's the best head coach in the league. I think their coaching staff's the best coaching staff in the league. JJ McCarthy did look really bad though last week. I don't know, what do you guys think of JJ?
I don't think much of him currently.
Yeah. Aside from 10 good minutes, it hasn't been good at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked. I figured if they were going to move on from Darnold, they liked what they saw from JJ last year in preseason, and they thought, okay, this is going to be the guy. So for how bad he looked, that's a little concerning, especially because I said I think Kevin O'Connell is the best coach in the league, so I feel like he knows something, but it was worrisome. He looked really bad against the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm curious. He did have a baby Thursday before the Falcons game.
Oh, so that's right.
Willing to bet he missed practice at least Wednesday, Thursday. At least Thursday. I mean, there's no way he was there when the baby was born. You know, it wasn't a game day. So, I mean, he might not have been as prepared for that game either. But, and now he's hurt. So now he's not going to get to play for like the next 3 to 4 weeks. And I was looking at their schedule and it's actually, I can't remember. It's brutal. The time when he's coming back is like, it's just a brutal time to come back as a rookie quarterback. I don't know if you can pull it up. I can't pull it up right here. It was like, it's like Eagles and then the Raven. It's just something stupid. I'm like, ouch, dude. That is just a terrible time.
Has a terrible schedule this year. We're going to have just true. Like, probably the hardest schedule in the NFL.
But these next few weeks were kind of like the easiest part of the schedule, which you could have like acclimated a little more with. And then it's like, now you're just going to miss that and come back and get thrown into the meat grinder against really good teams.
So how long is he supposed to be out? He's out like 3 weeks?
3 to 4. I mean, he said it's a high ankle sprain, but he's a quarterback, so maybe three. Maybe
Bengals, Steelers, Browns, Eagles are their next four. Eagles being the last of that.
They would go Eagles, stretch. Chargers, Lions, Ravens, and then Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's
going to be three to come back to. Not the Bears, but
he's going to come back for the Eagles, and that's going to be it for him.
But, I mean, they legitimately could be on a 3-0 run, too. You know, they could be 4-1 at that point. The Bengals, now without Burrow, I don't know.
Ouch.
They're going to beat a Vikings team with Carson Wentz. I still feel like the Vikings are pretty talented. Steelers, I think they're in, I don't know, you never really know what you're going to get with the Steelers. Their defense doesn't look as good. Their offense has been okay. But I still feel like the Vikings can take that, and they can beat the Browns. So, if they can go 3-0 in their next three and then split the Lions and Bears, I mean, that puts them like 4-4 for that stretch. I think that's okay, right? Still playoff potential.
I'm not saying him getting injured is going to cost them the playoffs. I just don't know if there's a playoff spot left for them at this point. The NFC looks good. Like, I know the AFC has been the stacked conference for the longest time, but the NFC is really starting to pick it up. And, I'm just more worried. It just sucks. I was just concerned, like, I feel like he's missing out on some of the easier matchups. And when he comes back, he's going to be against hard teams. I'm not saying they can't win without him or this is going to cost him the playoffs or anything. It just really sucks for him and his development to get thrown back into games that you're probably going to be losing in.
No, that's very true, especially for someone who missed all of last season too, right? So, like, he's the last player you want missing more time. Like, he needs reps. That's just what it comes down to. I mean, yeah, they might have liked him, maybe thought he was pretty good, but you're not going to really know who that player is, at least until, like, halfway through the season. So, he's just another year or half a year now behind in development. So, it's going to be challenging for him when he comes back, but like I said, maybe they got good coaching. Maybe they can get him going, and then they just get like one or two wins, and the team itself kind of wins, and he just can kind of play more like manager, you know, just kind of game manager type. And maybe he can keep it going and start learning on the job a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are in just the rough spot right now. The Bears are in a worse spot. But, I mean, I think for the Bears this season, because they just lost they lost a corner last week for the season. He's one of their best players too.
Yeah, Jalen or whatever. Yeah, I can think of his full name right now. But, yeah, he's one of the best players in the league. So, him being out for the season, that's a huge deal. And their defensive line looked atrocious against the Lions. So, I don't know if they have much talent left on their defensive line either. So, that was the one thing, is that they had a good secondary. But I think their number one and number two corners are injured. So, that's going to be hard for them to come back from.
Yeah, I think the Bears are just hoping for Caleb to look good this year. Yeah, that defense isn't going to hold up. And I don't think they're going to win enough games to get to the playoffs. But all you can really hope is Caleb Williams puts together like a string of good games and not this, I look good for a little bit and I look like terrible for a little bit and I look good for a little bit. And yeah, hopefully Ben Johnson can, I don't hope Ben Johnson can get it out of, but that's the hope for Bears fans out there, wherever they are.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's going to be all about his development this season. They shouldn't even be worried about playoffs. It's not like they're going to win a Super Bowl this year either. They should just put everything in developing Williams. He is the catalyst of that team. So they're going to be evaluation process all year. However, I think Ben Johnson's already getting pretty frustrated over there. So who knows?
Frustrated with... Losing or frustrated with Caleb Williams isn't doing what he wants him to do? That's my question. He does seem frustrated.
Oops, sorry.
No, you're good. I'm just saying he does seem frustrated. I'm just curious what the frustration is stemming from.
I think it's the Chicago media. I think he's not a guy who likes dealing with the media. He was kind of pretty nonchalant and quiet with the Lions. And when things went bad, he was kind of the guy who would always kind of snip back a little bit at the media. So I think with Chicago just being more of a aggressive media that's going to just constantly ask just ridiculous questions, like he's just getting frustrated with that. But yeah, it could mount to two that they're losing and they're not really putting it together yet. You know, it's hard to go to a struggling franchise and try to resurrect that franchise in only a couple games. You know, everyone's expecting great things just because of Caleb Williams, and then you have Ben Johnson, who's this kind of brilliant offensive mind. Like, this is supposed to be the time that they turn it around, and they haven't done it yet.
Oh, yeah. I guess that leaves the last team in the division. How about them Packers? What do you think?
Yeah, I guess I can change my tune a little bit from earlier this podcast season. I, you know, obviously said that they were going to make it to the playoffs. And obviously, that was more of just trying to razz you guys a little bit too, because I knew you guys were going to come with a bunch of Packer takes. But yeah, they looked really good. Beating the Lions like they did, that was impressive. Obviously, the Lions are going to be one of the top contenders for a Super Bowl this year. So to go in there and beat them the way they did was extremely impressive. Also beating the Commanders, they're one of the top up-and-coming teams in the league as well with the Packers. And, you know, they made them look pedestrian. Same thing with the Lions. I do think the Lions game is kind of, I don't want to say asterisk because that's not fair. The Packers definitely kicked the Lions' ass. But like I said before about the offensive line, the Lions had a lot of miscues between their guards in their first game really together, and they didn't play in preseason. And I think that really was noticeable against the Packers. So I'm not going to just say, oh, they're one of the best teams in the league yet. I do think they need to kind of show up for another game or two. I don't really like the Commanders. I know we've talked about that earlier in the podcast, or in the last podcast we did. I think you and I both didn't really like the Commanders that much this year. So it's two good wins against playoff teams. We have a really hard schedule, so I think that defense is going to get tested. I also think it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they get more film on how they're using Mike Parsons. They kind of got him at the perfect time, right? If you're going to add a player in the beginning of a game, what's the best position? I would say probably defensive end, because quarterbacks, they need all that timing and the receivers, but like a defensive end could just wreck a game if they're not prepared for them. So I wonder if that's going to change a little bit once teams kind of see what they're doing. But as of right now, yeah, that defense looked ridiculous the first two games. So he might be the elixir for everything, and it doesn't really matter what teams do to counter him. He's just that good. So I don't know, how pumped are you guys already?
I'll let you respond, Heaps. I gotta grab a beer quick.
I don't want to get my hopes too high, but at least after just the first two games, I think I mentioned it the last podcast with Kyle. Like, I think this has the potential of being an all-time defense. Just based, I mean, and that's just off of two games. And especially looking at what the Lions did to the Bears, but maybe the Bears are just that trash. But, and that's no disrespect to the Lions on that game, because they obviously went out and just beat their ass. So...
I still don't see the talent like in the secondary, though. Aren't you worried about that?
No, not if the front seven are playing the way they are. I mean, it might in a game, it might burn them on a play or two. Honestly, no. Throughout, Keyshawn's been looking pretty good as the number one. Evan, they got Williams, Bullard, McKinney. I'm really not that worried.
Yeah, that's still be my concern. Is like the secondary hasn't really been tested yet because of the pass rush and just because of the game states that they've been in. And then I don't know about, well, what about like the interior defense line? I know that was my concern before. Like, I mean, Wyatt's looking pretty good. Who's your other tackle?
Wooden. Colby Wooden. And
they both looked fantastic.
Yeah. Wooden's been looking every bit the Kenny Clark replacement. That guy's between him and Wyatt, they're eating up so many blocks and they're playing so well. It's just fun to watch.
Did you, we recorded a show on Monday. Did you listen to the Monday show by chance?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's fine. But, yeah, I kind of went over some stats and, like, the point of the stats I went over, and I don't have them in front of me, but was, yeah, trading Kenny Clark away was like, is our run D going to be worse this year because of this? And so far it looks significantly better somehow. Like, yeah, Wyatt and Wooden have just stepped up, and anything that gets past them, Quay and Cooper all over, like, immediately. So, like, we shut down the run 2 weeks in a row. I mean, not even 100 yards rushing between two teams that were elite rushing teams last year. Commanders kind of because Jaden Daniels rushes a lot, but he was also contained in that one. So, yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. It's weird to lose Kenny Clark, who was so good at the run, and then just magically get better. But... all these guys just took that step up this year, it seems like, so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? You're a young team, so it's just kind of, are you trending the right way or not? And, like, it seems like the players are. I remember Wooden, I think they said, right? Wooden's his last name. I remember him being kind of a solid player whenever he came in. I mean, against the Lions, you always seem to make plays. So, yeah, it's definitely, I do think those are the weak points of the defense, though. I think it's one of those things, like, against the Commanders, their running attack is a lot based on their quarterback's ability to run, and like your great pass rush is going to limit him a lot in that. So that's going to help against them in the run game. The Lions, you guys basically shut down the Lions. I mean, every time we try to go outside, like you said, your linebackers were there. They're fast. They have great instincts. So they're going to always cover those like outside sweeping runs pretty well, as long as they can keep the middle of the defense at the line of scrimmage. If they get blown off the ball, that's, again, where I was always kind of worried. So I want to see that later against, like, some of these better rushing teams. Like, when do you guys play the Ravens? You're going to play them soon, right?
No, we don't play any good teams till like, November.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the Eagles is, like, the next, like, good team we go up against.
Yeah, Eagles on November 10th. That should be their first real big test.
That's a big test for their defense, their run defense, at least, yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see when they're playing against some of those powerhouse teams, because that's when playoffs, those are the teams that you're seeing, like, the running game is just way more important later in the season. So yeah, they can definitely, I mean, they have been shutting down all these different running attacks or rushing attacks, so if they just keep it going, you can't blame it. Like you said, it's been, the numbers have been crazy. I know, like, I can't remember like what all the numbers were, but when I was watching the Monday night or the Thursday night game, there was a bunch of stats that came out with the Packers and like how their defense did things that no one did all of last year on defense against the Lions and the Commanders. I don't remember what stats it were, but it's just impressive nonetheless. It's something to do with like average yard per play or something like that. And that's pretty impressive in two games that no teams have done that all of last year. So, I mean, if you want to say all-time defense, you know, obviously in two games, I'm not going to write anyone off on defense or anything like that, but it's definitely got the start of it.
Yeah, I guess the final question on that matter then is, you worried about the jersey bet this season? I mean, last season you had it in the bag the whole fucking way. Like, would you guys lose three games? Like, we just couldn't. There was no catch
up. They lost two.
Packers weren't even bad last year, but we just couldn't. We could never catch up to you.
I don't think there's any, like, I wasn't like 100% sold the Lions were going to win it this year. You know, I think last year was this year just because I think the Packers and Vikings were like rebuilding teams earlier in that year. And the Vikings obviously went on a crazy win streak with a team that a lot of people didn't think was that talented and initially. But yeah, this year, I mean, again, everyone's kind of taking one more step forward. So the Lions, you know, grasp on the vision is going to start letting up a little bit. So, I mean, obviously we're going to bet this way every year, so it's not like I can get out of it. So, am I worried? Yeah, I think the Packers are a lot better than I expected. I still see issues with them. I think the hype is off of two games. I think it's still the Micah Parsons trade, and, you know, it's just like early in the season. So injuries happen. There's going to be more tape on how they're using Micah. I still don't trust Love for a full season yet. I don't think he's shown enough, you know, game to game in his career. He kind of goes on these weird streaks where he plays really well, and then he plays really bad, plays really well, plays really bad, gets injured, and it seems like a lot of times those injuries go with that. So is that an injury thing? Is that a, you know, Love thing? What's the issue there? Why does that keep happening? Like, he's not as consistent as someone like Goff, you know, game to game. He's a lot more erratic. So when he's playing well, though, he looks great. I mean, he had one of the best passes I've seen in a while. It was that corner throw to Reed near the end zone.
Oh, right. There's one
where he was going to get, like, sacked or something. It was against the Commanders. He just threw it up into the corner. That was an incredible pass. Like, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks. I hate to say, oh, no other quarterback can make that throw, because it's not like it's incredibly difficult in the sense of like arm strength, but like the pinpoint accuracy getting hit like that, that's a really crazy throw. So that's impressive. So he has that in him. He just doesn't do it consistently. And like I mentioned before, I think a lot of times when he throws a lot of these deep passes, they're like 50-50 balls, and sometimes they're like kind of poorly thrown. Like, he doesn't always hit those like in stride. He's pretty erratic when he gets into those slumps. And he just has to get out of that. If he can not have those slumps, he's going to be a great player. But with those slumps, he's going to always be inconsistent, and you're not sure if you can trust him long term.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, honestly, when he made the bet, I was more confident that the Packers would win the division last year than I was when we made the bet this year. But after two games, I'm way more confident this year of winning it than I was last year.
Yeah, it's a little easier.
Because last year we were rolling off that hot-ass fucking streak that the offense had for the last, you know, half the season, where they were just killing it. And then this year we weren't rolling off of that hot offense. It was a good offense and it was a good defense, but it was like, man, we're not like there on either side. And this year, just the defensive performance has been like, I don't even fucking care. Our offense doesn't need to be that good this year. Jordan Love can throw picks this year, and I think it's okay. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but as long as it doesn't turn it over like three times, it should be okay.
Yeah. They're going to be good. They're really good. You guys should be happy with what, you know, Micah Parsons is doing to that defense. I mean, they did that against the Lions with really out Micah Parsons, right? Like, he only played like 28 snaps or something against the Lions. I don't know how many plays we had on offense, but it definitely was over 50. I mean, we held the ball most of the game. I think we had like 2-1 time of possession against you guys. So he was on the field, let's say, like half of the time.
And not even, but
yeah, we're still shutting. Yeah, it probably wasn't half time, but I mean, that's, you were beating us without Parsons a lot of that game.
The Parsons was still on a snap count on Thursday too, and apparently he's getting pretty annoyed with that whole situation. So we might have to put him in all the time.
Sure, you know, they're trying to help him nurse his back. A lot of players, they just want to play. They don't even care about the injury.
Yeah, I get it. And then he has to understand to some extent. Like, dude, you've been on the team for 2 weeks last Thursday. You got it. We can't put you in every play. But
I'm thinking he's going to be most of the snaps by the Dallas game. He's going to want to be on that field going after Dak as often as he can.
That'll be an interesting game. Like, there's not probably more motivation for him other than like winning a Super Bowl than that game. So
Green Bay can win that game by 50.
50. Anything like 50-0?
As long as Javonte has 2 touchdowns. Oh, I do have a question for you, Jim. Do you think the Browns can score over or under 6.5 points next week?
Who are they playing again? The Packers?
The Packers.
Yeah, I think they're going to go over 6.5. It's fucking Joe Flacco. He's elite.
He's an old man going up against Parsons. And
it's going to be elder abuse, dude.
He's gonna need hospice after this game.
That's actually not a bad.
That was our bet from the last episode. Yeah,
you guys.
Yeah, because... the Heaps took the over.
Yeah, we started, I think, at like 5 or something. We got it up to 6.5.
I threw out 5, and I was like, oh, that's super generous.
Yeah.
I waffled my up to 6.5.
That'll be an interesting game for your defense, though. Like, I don't think the Browns' offense is, like, overly that bad. Like, they have a really good offensive line, and then they have pretty good stable running backs.
Judkins looked all right. Could
surprise you, you know, if, like, the defense isn't elite. You'll probably know, because like if the Browns kind of smack you in the mouth a little bit, that's gonna like be like, oh, that's gonna leave a sour taste. And like, it's not like you're going against a rookie quarterback. You're going against Joe Flacco. Like, the guy knows how to, you know, read protections. He's gonna know how to set up his team to give him the best chance to win. It's not like you're gonna be able to take a like total advantage of him, other than the fact that he's stationary. I'm not saying you guys aren't gonna win. I think you'll easily win, but I think the Browns could surprise you guys next week a little bit.
Yeah, if they score a bunch of points, that would be a huge reality check for me. Because I'm on cloud 9.
Yeah, that would be a reality check for everybody. If Cleveland comes out and drops like 28 on Green Bay or something, 30. I don't think it's going to happen, but
I don't see it. But
it's only 2 games, and the NFL is always weird.
Yeah, any given Sunday, you never know. Miles Garrett could feast.
There is that factor. Miles Garrett. Yeah, one of the few guys better than Parsons out there. We're lining
up.
I think he's
the only one better than Parsons.
I still don't think Parsons is like versatile enough. Like as a linebacker, rushing linebacker, he is. I still think the guys that can play the run and pass a little bit.
They might not need him to be. Honestly,
that's
what they might. They might only need him to rush the passer.
I think all they want him for is rush the passer. If the runner's coming at you, I mean, try, I guess, but.
We got to say, when you get right in the season, like, he's got to play run defense. He's always kind of under playoffs. He's always underperformed like in those type of games because, again, the better rushing teams can take advantage of him. It's always been his weakness, something that you need to have a very good run defense to have an elite defense with someone like him, I think. I think he can play everywhere. I think he can impact the game in many ways. But, again, it's mostly in passing situations.
I think there's enough other talent around to just be like, just rush the passer, dude. We know what your strength is. We know what your weakness is. Just ignore your weakness. We got your back in that part.
That's
not what you're good at.
Halfley's got to be like a teenager playing Madden on like rookie or something with this defense. Like, what can I call next?
I think that guy from Iowa, he's looked pretty good too, right? I
forget his name. Van Ness. Yeah, they... Yeah. Well, since they got Parsons, they moved Van Ness on the inside, and he's been tearing it up since he's been in there.
And that's a lot of it, too, though, is, like, look at how much that changed your defense 1 and 2. And, like, again, like I mentioned before, when you're replacing, like, when you're adding a player to a team for an individual game, and, like, everything's known, and you add an individual player, what is the best position in the NFL to probably give to a team? It can't be quarterback, because that takes all different timing. It takes a while to, like, get on page with receivers. So what would make the biggest impact in a game? Left tackle?
I'd say anywhere on the defensive line, unless you have a Hall of Famer coming in at offensive line or something.
I would say pass rusher pretty much no matter what. So like I feel like a lot of this, the Packers have a very big like advantage for week 1 and 2, and you know it's gonna slowly get worse. Like, or I shouldn't say worse because it's still like incredible to happen. But I think you're gonna have teams starting to plan a little bit more. They haven't been able to have Van Ness tape like probably as a tackle that much, you know. That's a surprise, you know. You're also putting Micah Parsons in, so now you have all this other different protections that you have to learn, because someone like Parsons makes him such a great pass rusher because he can guy that always is moving. It's hard to keep tabs on. It's not like a Hutchinson who's pretty much just lining up over the right tackle or left tackle. So I think it does offer a lot of strategic advantage for the Packers right now. So I do think there's a little bit of that to play into it. And I think it's not going to be like, that's why I don't think like going, oh, it's going to be one of the best defenses of all time after 2 games. Like, oh, hold off, man. There's a lot more.
I'm not holding off at all. This is like a 2000s Ravens defense here.
See, that'll never happen again. There's no way it'll ever happen in the NFL again.
It's fun to extrapolate off 2 games though.
Are we done torturing Jim enough?
Yeah, we can move off the whole NFC North thing.
As we sometimes do, we went a little long on this one, so I'm going to cut her there, and we'll pick up with the actual fantasy stuff in the next episode. Thanks for listening, everybody, and enjoy your Jameis Winston quote of the week. Bye.
I learned my lesson. I promise you I learned my lesson. Just let me go back outside and play.